Just take a moment and let's just expand the universe a little bit, shall we?
You must unlearn what you have learned.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Caulfield Kenobi presents Legends Library.
There's always a bit of truth in legends.
Routine information is not repeat, not simply shouted in the general direction of its intended recipient. Is that clear?
To defeat an enemy, you must know them.
Now here are your hosts, Luke Siders and Randy Theriot.
But enough of this. You've come a long way to challenge me. Make a worthy effort.
Hey everybody, I'm Randy.
And I'm Luke.
And you're listening to Legends Library. We're what are we? Jeez.
I don't know what we are.
we're the podcast dedicated to the Legends line of Star Wars books. And we are recording this just a couple days after the red carpet premiere of Solo. And we are talking about a kind of a cool throwback book this month, Han Solo at Star's End, written by Brian Daley. But before we get into any of that discussion, Luke, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. Just super, super busy. So
yeah,
you know how it is, just kind of chugging along. Summer's coming. We have the movie coming out in a week. Just trying to stay away from spoilers, to go in fresh.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the worst thing about it is coming off Infinity War. Now I have like super like high expectations.
Oh wow!
Because I really enjoyed that movie. So
okay.
Well, yeah.
I can't imagine that it's gonna. No, I haven't seen Infinity War. Don't say anything about it. Like I know it's crazy. I know I haven't. I'm so far behind in that.
Movies behind.
I haven't seen Ragnarok. I haven't seen Black Panther. I haven't seen any of those.
You saw Civil War though, right?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's
probably miss Black Panther, but
I'm so buried. Oh, I've heard so many awesome things about it. Well, I don't want to miss it.
As for the storyline though, like I don't know. But Ragnarok though, I love
gotta catch that one. Okay. Well, I guess I should explain myself. I have been reading like and listening to incredible amounts of Star Wars stuff, like a lot. And so not only have we read this, we've read this book at Star's End, but I'm six, and this is in the past maybe 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. I'm 6 books into the Legacy of the Force series. I'm 2 books at the same time. I'm 2 books into Fate of the Jedi series. Plus just finished up listening to the Last Shot, the newest canon book, and reading this at Star's End book. I am so buried and so lost in Star Wars imagination world that I don't have space in my heart or my head for anything else right now. And honestly, I'm loving it. Like I'm okay that I do want to see those other movies, but I'm okay right now. Like even I'm having so much fun right now in my fandom, in my Star Wars book fandom, and it's like a personal, like kind of a personal book revival kind of going on in my head and in my heart. I'm all right with it. I'm kind of like in this really cool, like kind of Star Wars space, you know, man. It's really... So, but you're trying to avoid spoilers and stuff. So as we go through, there's some similarities when you compare like the trailer to At Star's End. There's some similarities and some things that kind of pop out popped off the page as I was reading At Star's End, that I'll kind of bring up when we talk about that. But the thing I want to talk to you before we get into our book review, I want to like talk to you about this like Sabacc thing that you're like totally jonesing on, because I need you to catch me up. I need to know like the whole story of how you what what is this all about? So tell us listeners and tell me what's going on.
I think we kind of talked about it before, slightly, when that game came out.
Yeah,
I sent the picture out. So for those of you, I'm sure everybody's seen it now, but they have the Han Solo card game that came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, yeah. And it looks like Sabacc and stuff. So I got it, opened it up, read the rule book, and I'm like, this isn't Sabacc. It's kind of like a watered down version.
Okay.
And that you, there's basically like positive and negative cards to negative 10 and positive 10, and you play to zero.
Oh, wow.
Just zero, and that's it. And then there's the dice, where basically if the dice match, you turn in all your cards and get new cards. So it's kind of like, I guess that's a way to, like, I don't know,
randomize it,
emulate the shift of the cards.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, you know, we played it the other night. It was kind of fun. So I went online, was just kind of like looking. From what I found, I did a lot of research on like Reddit. There's an article I posted on our Twitter from Fantasy Flight Games, of like a forum of people talking about it. But I guess a few years ago, I think it was 2015 at Star Wars Celebration, they gave out, they called them Cantina cards, to a certain amount of people. And it sounds like they're really expensive and really rare.
Okay.
You can't find them on like eBay or anything.
Hmm.
I'm sure. But basically what people did was somebody was probably really good at Photoshop or something. They rendered them and put them as picture files. And then what the guy was saying is basically you download all those, all 76, you know, cards that you need. And they have like, I mean, you said you kind of looked at them. Did you look at the cards at all or?
Yeah. And they look different than what's on, like what's on the trailer. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of have that kind of like, oh, I don't know, like trapezoidal kind of shape, or
yeah,
I don't, like I'm sure Star that's Wars the language. Wrong term. Yeah, like Orbesh. Yeah. But they're square playing cards. They still have Orbesh on them, and they're like, they look like legit, like, I don't know, almost like vinyl. They look like legit cards.
Yeah, and so basically, what you can do is you go to let me pull up the website here, because I wouldn't want to get it wrong for anybody that's actually interested in doing this. And then you guys can reach out to me if you want to, you know, pursue this route, but it's makeplayingcards.com.
Okay.
And on that website, you can basically make your own deck of cards. You basically just upload images. You upload like the backside of the card, which they have a template for that.
Okay.
And then you upload the front side for each card, and you pick how many cards you want. So you do 76 and you just upload them in, and then you can pick like the quality of them, what type of material, what size you want and everything. And then they basically takes a week for them to make them, and then they ship them to you.
And you've already done that process. That's what you're talking
about. I'm waiting. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, but yeah, these are like the legit, like I looked up too on Wikipedia and a couple other websites, to be more descriptive, but the Sabacc rules and stuff, and it's the exact cards, you know, they have the four suits of the staves and flasks and all that stuff. there's the idiot cards, you know, so you can do the idiot's array.
Oh, wow.
So I'm pretty excited for that, because, you know, Han Solo card game is fun. It was only like $20. So, and it's easy for anybody to pick up.
Okay.
I mean, if you got kids or something, like we have a 10 and 13 year old, and they were able to play it after like one round.
Oh,
so, you know,
cool.
It's something easy to sit down. This, you know, obviously is a little more, because you got the negative 23, the idiot's array. And then, you know, if there's a tie, you got to do the sudden demise. Because I was reading up all the rules and stuff. I mean, you have the regular pot, the Sabacc pot. Which makes me want to go and listen to the Darth Bane chapters again.
I was just going to ask. Yeah, because
that's what made it fun.
Yeah, one of the
light cards, but like, I don't know. They made it fun in that book.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited just to add the deck. I think it would be kind of cool just to, you know, oh yeah, I got a Sabacc deck, you know. And I was kind of like looking up ways to simulate, you know, the shift and all that.
Yeah,
I think just the dice, kind of like what they use in Han Solo game, would probably work. And then instead of like having the interference field, just have like people lay their cards down, you know?
Okay.
And that was the field that you could put your card in if you didn't want it to shift.
Okay, like a
but
lock.
You'd have to put yeah, it's like a lock your card, like, but you have to put it face up so everybody else can see what you have.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm kind of excited. Once I get it, I'll let you know, and we'll find out time to play it or something.
Yeah, you'll have to teach me.
We'll have to go to the casino and get a spare table and play it and get kicked out. Oh, heck
yeah.
What are you guys playing? Oh, Sabacc, man.
It's Sabacc. But then we have to speak in all the lines. You got a lot of guts coming
back. You can bet your new truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lose it to some suave guy.
Yeah. That's true. Though, I don't know who, if somebody ever got my truck, they would be the loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a 28-year-old.
Pretty cool looking.
It's pretty cool. I got my utini.com sticker I just put on it.
Nice.
It's right over my Captain Rex license plate. So it's pretty cool. I'm representing. I really want to do is find the T visor or the T helmet. I want to put that on there on the truck somewhere. I haven't really found anything cool enough yet.
You gotta find the right one.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, if anybody's interested though in the Sabacc thing, just let me know. Pretty much, I just looked it up on Google, and there's like Reddit pages, and basically the one I posted on Twitter, I believe, is the one where some guy basically posted his Dropbox, his Google Dropbox, with all the files in it. So basically, you just download it, and then you just go to that site and make your deck.
Oh, that's cool. Right on.
You can make them like plastic cards. They have that. So, I mean, if you had some money, I just did it cheap. But, I mean, if somebody had some money, you could make, like, cool plastic cards and stuff with them.
Wow. What's next? Intense. The holo table and the...
You know, I'm surprised.
The Jarek table?
How do we not have cards that can, you know, shift?
Yeah.
You'd think somebody would just... But, you know, it's a...
That's down the rabbit hole of nerd right there. Yeah. At the corner of nerd and crazy, you'll find Luke playing Sabacc with himself.
That's so good. But even, you know, the Han Solo card game is pretty fun. I would suggest, you know, if somebody's got $20 and they want an easy version, apparently that's what they play in the movie. They don't actually play Sabacc. They play this other game, which is like a variant.
Oh, wow. Okay. But
that's what people were saying. You know, nobody's seen the movie yet when I read that. So that could just be, you know, hearsay. Star Wars fans never do that. So.
You haven't seen any of the trailers yet, but there's this really cool trailer of that scene where they're playing cards together, and there's all those different characters, like the Scissor Punch dude and all those other characters. And it's a really cool perspective. The camera is actually put in the center of the table, and you have 360 degree control of the camera itself. So as you're watching the trailer or just watching the clip of that scene, you can spin and view that scene in 360 degree. So the camera doesn't cut away to the according to the dialogue. It just stays static and it moves wherever you want it to move. And so that's a really cool thing. If you guys haven't seen that yet, I think it's on StarWars.com or on the their YouTube channel.
I wonder how intense they're going to get with the card game, because, you know, usually that in movies is pretty boring. But then on the other hand, like Casino Royale and James Bond, that was like a pretty intense like card game and stuff. And then, I don't even like cards, and I thought it was like interesting and stuff. So I mean, I wonder if they're going to do something like that with this, where, you know, they actually like make it like intense thing, or if it's just going to be like a 5-second thing, and then I don't know.
I get a sense.
Phasma, where you thought it was a big thing and it wasn't. So
yeah, well, I think it'd be
cool if they went into it.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I haven't seen it, but I don't think they will. I think it's just a place for character to really be developed or introduced, or for character to take over. You know, and that's the dialogue that I've seen so far, is Lando being super Lando-y and Han being super like smug, side grin kind of being Han and or Han. So
Han,
that's it. So I think that is just a kind of a canvas, kind of a blank canvas for them to kind of be the full-on character, you know, in full-on character. And but who knows, maybe it's 30 seconds, maybe it's
30 minutes.
I keep feeling like maybe that's the end, you know, that, but or maybe that's when they first meet, but then is that also the end when I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. I want to stay spoiler free, and even yeah. Though I'm speculating, if I get it right, I would feel really lame if I actually got something right once every once in a while. But yeah, man, that's really cool. I can't wait to play. I can't wait to see whenever you get those, like fan them out, make them look all cool in your hands, and post those on Twitter. That'd be super cool.
I'll do that. And I'll let everybody know how the quality is and stuff, because I just did it kind of like the basic, like basically like a regular deck of playing cards.
Okay.
There was like different qualities and all. There's tons. It was actually a really cool website. So, I mean, hats off to them.
That's cool.
I mean, there's a million things you can customize.
Right on.
So, yeah, and another note, I haven't played it in a while, but, you know, Star Wars Imperial Assault game. I wonder if they've added anything. They added like all the Rebels characters now. There's a Lothal expansion pack. Thrawn is on there. And I'm like, geez.
I fell behind.
Spend some money.
No kidding. Yeah. Man,
they're really bringing Thrawn in, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I've been
really liked him. The ones that didn't know, like,
who he was originally. Yeah. I've been thinking about that. And I've like, you know, because he's disappeared into the nothingness along with Ezra.
He's got to be alive.
And how I know he's alive somewhere, right? But how it could kind of fit in and kind of mesh in with the Thrawn trilogy, with Timothy Zahn's books and stuff, and how he'll come back later on or whatever, in the post Return of the Jedi, you know, kind of era or whatever. But but who knows? At least he's still available to and that there's a book with Darth Vader Thrawn book coming out. So that's
actually cool. Pre-ordered it already. I usually don't pre-order anything, but
golly, like, you gotta get that. Yeah, yeah.
I got the credit. I'll do it.
Let's get it done.
I'm like, I'm not gonna get it, you know.
Yeah, good call. Well, should we go ahead and head over to our book review?
Let's jump on in.
All right, let's do it.
In a world filled with Star Wars books.
More, please look out to utini.com.
Thanks, Jar Jar. I want to tell you about my friends at utini.com. Inspired by a need to add to his Star Wars book collection, CEO and founder Corey Helton created an alternative to searching Amazon Prime for all of his canon and legends needs.
Prime, Optimus Prime, whenever Earth is in...
No way! You cannot be serious.
Be nice, Zeb.
He's from the wrong movie.
I know. Anyway, Utini is a monthly subscription bag that delivers the latest Star Wars books right to your door. Receive the newest canon book and fill in the gaps of your Legends collection with zero hassle.
Did somebody say zero? I love the sound of that.
Never purchase a book you already own with Utini's Bookshelf Collection Tracker, keeping your checklist right on their website.
Yes, a deal that is.
Utini, your galaxy delivered.
The name's Rex, but you can call me Captain or Sir. Now go to utini.com.
All right, so Star's End. What did everybody think?
Good call.
The book, to me, the book started out, you know, pretty interesting. You kind of told me that this is an older book. I didn't know when it came out exactly. Looks like it was like 1979. There were some points where I thought at the beginning that it came out like after Return of the Jedi. Just as some of the things, like, you know, we're going to talk about the plot a little bit, but at the beginning when he's basically running on that, he's running from the corporate sector like ship around the jungle planet. And it sounds like he, from what I read and deciphered, he basically turned sideways to get through that chasm.
Yeah.
And broke off their satellite dish.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this guy stole this straight out of Return of the Jedi. when in reality, apparently, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in Empire Strikes Back, he turns sideways to go through the asteroid. And then, you know, they get their dish knocked off and turn the Jedi. So that was just kind of cool. Right at the beginning, probably in the first 10 pages, you see a couple themes that, you know, they're not big, but were kind of picked up in the movies. I don't know if maybe the, you know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but the book came first, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It did. And it's kind of strange. It's kind of weird that, everyone has their own experience, with, yeah, I guess with anything, I guess, but everyone has their own experience when it comes to the Legends books and or what we understood to be just the books back in the day and Star Wars literature back in the day. And I think because they were so these books, the Brian Daley books, the Splinter of a Mind's Eye, and those books came out so close to the actual movies that I didn't really ever accept it as like part of the timeline. In fact, I really struggled with the Bantam Doubleday kind of era to Del Rey. You know, there was kind of like a point where I was like, okay, you know, this is really what the timeline is, or this is really what it's almost like. It kind of like got like the Legends line kind of got rebooted gently, or kind of like a soft reboot.
It was like the inconsistencies, I think,
of these older ones. Yeah. Yeah. And there's, and you could tell, obviously, none of this stuff has been explored. And really, I think part of talking about books like this and kind of slipping this one in there before the movie comes out is that they're kind of trailblazers in a way. Like, Alan Dean Foster and Brian Daley here, like they had one movie, really.
Yeah.
And you know, they had one movie to work with, and the challenge of making something from just 1 2-hour film is pretty tough. And I think that when we, as we review this, it'll kind of be with that lens. I think it's a lot easier. I imagine it is a lot easier for somebody like Aaron Alston or Michael Stackpole or Karen Travis, or with such already having such, I mean, there are reference books already published by the time they start writing. I guess maybe not Michael Stackpole, because he wrote those reference books, but you know, Brian Daley didn't have anything but, you know, a script from the original A New Hope film, and then kind of had to spin off of that. So it was a tall order to start with, but we have to kind of look at it.
As a compliment, I think he did an exceptional job of basically, like, you could tell it's aged. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But basically getting the Star Wars dialogue and the words and, you know, Plasteel and Dermacrete, you know, little stuff like that. Some of it was like off and you could tell.
Right.
But others, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it hasn't changed too much, or he made, you know what I mean? Like, in that sense, it wasn't too aged, I guess.
Right.
After seeing a movie and having no reference books and none of those like little encyclopedias where it shows, hey, Han Solo's blaster was a deal of 44, you know what I mean? Like,
he didn't
have that, and he basically just made up stuff and went with it. And you know, even, it all sounds legit. Well, not all of it. No, let's not kid ourselves. But
there's some questionable stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and bash it, because for one of the first, coming out 2 years after one movie, it's pretty good. And now we have hundreds of books to just, you know, take. So, I mean, not to be too critical of it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess we would say that there's some terminology and locations even that stuck, and then some that have never been mentioned again. But it is really cool that even the authors that followed, there became kind of a lore. And you know, eventually, I know that there's people that are like, oh man, the Legends books are so lame, because all they do is they fly around the universe talking about freshers and calf, you know, and I, you know, the terminology that, that Star Wars books use to keep you in, you know, in universe and to keep your mind from wandering outside of the universe. And the people have I don't know that kind of, that's part of the criticism or whatever, but I've never, ever found that to be a negative. I always felt like it's cool. It's not a watch. It's a chrono. It's not a restroom. It's a fresher. I mean, there's just, it keeps you in, imagination world. I don't want to be taken out. And right now in the mode that I'm in, I love it. I love that I can lose myself, you know, in 9 books and 2 books and what, you know, I'm loving the fact that I can kind of immerse myself in a galaxy here, and I'm not brought out of it.
Really pull you out too.
Absolutely,
like
yeah.
Saying, like yeah. If somebody's bathroom, you're gonna like instantly like, oh, you know, yeah. I don't know. It pops out.
Yeah, and every once in a while they bring up it as kind of like a tongue in cheek kind of thing from the Thrawn trilogy, the hot chocolate thing. I don't know if you remember that, but. Where Luke will say, yeah, Lando found this thing and, you know, on some planet it's called hot chocolate or whatever. And so every once in a while, it's fun to kind of have kind of a tongue in cheek thing, but even that brings me out of it. I'd rather just, that's not necessary to keep me in the world, keep using the, you know, Dermacrete and the Flimsoplast and all the terminology. And that keeps me in that, it keeps me in that frame or in that space of imagination, I don't need to escape. There's enough reality outside there. When I open up a book or when I'm listening to an audiobook, I'm in that world for a reason, because I don't want to. I have too much reality already.
Yeah, I'm already yelling at traffic. I don't need.
Yeah. Good call. So,
what did you think of his capturing of Han Solo, the character? I mean, it's like basically the first time we've ever seen him in a book almost. I mean, it's not, right. But like his first standalone.
Yeah. I didn't think it was like, wow. I wasn't like blown away, but I didn't think he was like untrue to the character. And so I think that, that Brian Daly was, I think he did a serviceable job. Like it wasn't like, you really, really captured it. You know, it wasn't, you know, like finishing the last shot, like the Daniel Jose Alder. I felt like in the last shot, that book, he nailed both Lando and Han and did an incredible job of doing that. Again, with this lens of like, this was like the first Solo book, right? And so, you know, he did a serviceable job. I think that Brian Daly captured the loyalty and kind of pulled on the heartstrings in the relationship between Han and Chewie. I thought he did a really good job there. I thought that felt authentic. And then, you know,
love interest.
Good call. You know, the Jessa character who feels like it's going to be a lot like the Kira character in a Solo, a Star Wars movie that's coming out in a week. So there's some themes here that were I'm assuming themes that'll be in the movie that are inspired by this book and or the series of books. I know that that Pablo Hidalgo and those guys, they really have a love for Brian Daly in these Solo books.
Yeah. And so there's a little piece in the book that I have. Because I got the new Legend book, so it was like a Pablo Hidalgo like page where he writes about it.
Oh, really? Oh, tell me about it. I have the old.
I didn't read it, to be honest.
Good to hear.
It's basically like a thing talking about how, you know, what it did for the books and all that.
Okay. That's cool. That's really cool. I have the old 1979 version here on my desk.
Oh, okay. That's why I couldn't tell how old it was, because I got this book and it's like it has Legends on top and everything, and it's all the books.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's cool.
Like a reprint.
Yeah, that's cool. I thought it was really, and I know we're not talking about the actual story right now, but holding this book, like I've had to really be careful with it. Like I can leave it in my truck, or you know, when I open it to read it, I didn't want to like open it really wide, so I'm just kind of barely open it. I have, mm-hmm. I mean, this book is, I'm 45. This book is 43, 42. I mean, it's
79. So
it's, yeah, it's almost as old as I am. So I mean, it's pretty cool to actually hold this book and have a bookmark in it. I have my Utini bookmark to hold my place, and so I don't know. It was pretty nostalgic. It smells new, or it smells old. It has that old library smell. It smells like I'm smelling it right now. It smells like an old book. it's an old book. Pretty fortunate. I'm pretty fortunate to have all of these Splinter of the Mind's Eye and the original. I have the first printing of the hardcover of Star Wars or A New Hope, or it's actually called Star Wars from the Adventures of Luke Skywalker.
Mm.
It's pretty cool. So
I don't know. I think it's not the worst Han Solo I've read.
Okay.
I mean, cool. Some of those and that we did in New Jedi Order were pretty rough.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't make sense at all. I mean, I liked how he was kind of a jerk in this book in a way, which I liked because this is, you know, before he kind of changed.
Right. Kind of a scoundrel.
You know, like with the Pluvo, whatever his name was, 2-for-1.
Yeah.
That whole scene, you know, where he pretty much shot first there and had the little animal with the money on it, and you know, and kind of a jerk move and stuff, and I don't know. I kind of liked how he was basically kind of a jerk like that.
But still clever, and I think
he still has a heart. You know, there was times where he tried to be, you know, like jumping ahead a little bit. We're talking about the story, but when they're getting attacked in the Z-95 headhunters, and he's like trying to ditch out, but then he's like, "Fine, I'll help."
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I think I have a suspicion. I think we might have the same favorite part, but I'm guessing, but I'm hoping anyway that the stars are going to align here. But so the book took a long time. It's only 187 pages, and it took a long time to develop and get to the main story. It was like 100 pages in, and I was like, okay, so this is Jessa and her father. Her father Doc, or it was 80 pages in, something like that, where you finally get like the gist or get the beginning of the main mission. So so like Luke said, in a smuggling run, the Falcon kind of falls into disrepair and they need repairs quick, and so they end up at they go to Oron 3. And that's where they're hoping to find a guy named Doc, but Doc has disappeared. And Jessa is a female character, and love interest, future love interest in the book, or even maybe past love interest. I don't know. But and so Jessa makes a deal: if you go, you know, help my father, then I'll make the repairs to your ship. And with the Corsec security police show up and all kinds of stuff.
They're like a group that, you know, the corporate security sector authority, whatever. You don't really hear much about them later.
Actually they come up, they come up a lot in iJedi. I don't know if you remember that. In iJedi, they come up a lot in
that was Corsec,
right? That's
that
what
was Coruscant security. This is corporate sector,
and I always thought it was core security, like the core.
No, that was for like Coruscant. Coruscant or Corellian. I think it's Corellian.
Corellian security.
Yeah.
So I've been just using them interchangeably. Corporate sector, Corsec. I just kind of filled in the blank while I was reading this book. Like,
it's Corellian security force.
That's awesome. Okay, so this is just like a one-off as far as like a because they are
towards corporate sector and stuff, but you never really, not like this. Like in Clone Wars and stuff, they were like a group, the CIS and stuff.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow. Well, I stand corrected then. You are right. I just use those terms interchangeably. Every time I saw corporate sector, authority, security, police showed up, and Brian Daly actually types out the words. I was like, yeah, CorSec. I just filled it in with my head, you know, in my head, kept on going. So as the story is kind of like unfolding, Han Solo is kind of paired up with kind of this like hodgepodge of characters to go on this mission to go find Doc. This is where, first of all, at the very beginning, there's, as we go through, I'm going to try to make a couple connections to the movie. And one of them was, in the trailer, there's a scene, a trailer the Han Solo, a Star Wars movie. There's a scene where it's a shot. It's like kind of a cowboy shot from behind Han Solo's right hand, and he kind of unsnaps his holster, and he's about to reach for his blaster. And that there's a scene in the book that's very similar, where he kind of puts his hand over. It's kind of like that kind of cowboy kind of scene, almost like Western kind of scene. And then I can tell that there's going to be kind of like a, almost like Scoundrels kind of, or like Ocean's 11 kind of thing, where they're like kind of getting a band together to kind of pull off some kind of heist or whatever. And that's kind of what this book reminded me of, is there's some common themes there. There's a whole bunch of characters here. There's kind of like a feline character with an offspring. There's a character named Bullux, and Bullux is a droid, kind of a labor droid, but inside is kind of like the brains of the operation, a droid named Blue Max, and it's a smaller droid that's kind of like that does all the thinking and is kind of like an R2 kind of role. Is able to hook up and program computers, hook up and read computers, and kind of a slicer kind of a droid. And that's Blue Max, who fits inside of Bullux. And so they're actually two characters in one. And so I thought that was kind of a unique character. Recon is another, or Reckon or Recon is another character that plays a major role in this book. But
so that was a scene that kind of reminded, was like, all right, Han Solo was kind of a jerk. Han Solo is when Reckon dies, where he's, you know, killed on the Millennium Falcon,
right?
Trying to find out who did it, and then he finds out Torm did. And Torm's in, you know, the airlock, and Han Solo just jettisons him. You know,
it wasn't
quick, but you know, has no problem just jettisoning this guy.
And that was the part I thought you might think. I thought that's the part I thought you might think is your favorite.
Well, I like Han Solo as the anti-hero in a way.
Okay.
I mean, not totally as a bad guy, because he's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. But I like kind of, you know, all right, you know, I'm going to do what needs to be done, and I'm kind of a jerk. So.
Yeah.
So I like that side of Han Solo, like the, you know, so, New Hope.
The listeners that haven't read the book, or just kind of tracking, or just to kind of remind everybody, so Han Solo walks in, they are able to escape from somewhere, and Han Solo walks in, and at this point, Chewie's been captured, is that correct? Yeah, Chewie's gone, so he's been captured at this point.
Yeah, so yeah, he was captured.
So Han Solo walks back to the cargo hold, or to the common area, I guess. Oh, and it's not the cargo hold. It's the lounging area.
Dead on his game.
Yeah, on the holo table. Recon is dead, and he's kind of laying on top. He's laying dead on top, and all the other people in the ship. They come. Nobody knows. Han Solo doesn't know who shot Recon in this whole mess. It was Torm, but all the other characters, they everyone arrives on the scene from different parts of the ship all at the same time. And so Han Solo is trying to figure out who killed Recon, and everyone else is trying to figure it out as well. But somewhere in their midst is the killer. And so I thought it was really clever how Han Solo kind of figured it out, and he was able to kind of weed out who the killer was, and it was Torm, and he did send him into cold space, which was cool. I was down with it. That was my favorite part. It was the quick thinking. It was the nobody's armed but me. Recon went before he died with his blood. He kind of wrote the name of
the location.
Yeah, the location of where Stars End. Stars End, by the way, ended up to be kind of a penitentiary kind of location place that was kind of disguised as a, I don't know, entertainment venue or something.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. So Torm leaves the story, but we have Atare and her cub Paka. We have Han Solo, and these are all characters that are on the ship, and they're going to look for Chewbacca, and at the same time they're looking for Doc, because Doc, they find out that Doc is in the same place. And so they go and they're going to kind of infiltrate somehow. They're going to infiltrate Star's End, this like facility that is holding people hostage or has prisoners or whatever. But at the same time, the owner or the main administrator is, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of, what's the book? The Count of Monte Cristo and, that Deuth or whatever the, I can't remember.
I haven't read that book in like,
okay. Oh my gosh.
I remember really reading it.
That's what it kind of reminded me of. Like there's entertainment. It's kind of, there's an entertainment element to it, but at the same time, it's also a penitentiary kind of thing. But anyway, so
human trafficking almost.
Yeah. So that's kind of the, and that's like 100 pages in with just 80 pages left. That, I mean, you're well into the story. And so they decide how they're going to break into this facility is they're, all of them are going to dress up and kind of play the role of entertainers. And that was kind of far-fetched for me. I was like,
I agree.
Yeah. So you got the same impression.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And how he kind of like conveniently had all the materials to make up,
outfits and everything.
Outfits and things. And there's one particular character that had like a super like metallic, real flashy. And that reminds me of a that real quick clip of that dancer that has this was wearing this gold dress and is all like super cool, like wavy and metallic kind of dress in the trailer for the Solo movie that's coming out. And so that, again, there's little glimpses here and there where there's some crossover.
Yeah, this is the portion of the book that was just, it kind of started to lose me.
Okay.
This whole portion on here and basically trying to break out, you know, all these people by doing the self-destruct sequence, but then you can't. And then for some reason, this guy has his executioner droid going to fight Bollocks. You know, I'm like, what the heck? Like, why?
Right. So that Harkin is the president or the vice president of this facility, and so while Han Solo's crew is entertaining Harkin, and providing kind of the entertainment and trying to not blow their cover and be entertainers, Han Solo is down in kind of the depths of this station or this facility. And he's trying to figure out where Chewie is and trying to find Doc, because Doc has a way to would have a way. He's intelligent enough to kind of figure a way out of this whole mess, technically figure out a way to get out of this whole mess. But this Hurricane guy is like he doesn't want to see dancers. He wants to see his gladiator droid fight some other droid that this entertainment group has brought. And so he's like kind of bloodthirsty. He wants to see violence. He wants to see, even though it's not blood, they're droids, but he wants to see battle, and all they're giving him is dancing and stuff, and he gets fed up. And that's how they're kind of exposed. And so
it's like Ragnarok in a way for those that have seen it. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking of right now.
All right.
They're moving on.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to get into it because, you know, I don't want to spoil it.
Gotcha. There's this big explosion, and they're about to I guess it kind of puts this facility kind of airborne or whatever.
The field launched it up. It's basically so much time before it comes back down
and hits the ground. And so kind of about to escape. This band, they're able to find Chewie, they find Doc, they're about to escape, but that's when the security, the corporate sector security arrives in a shuttle. And so as this facility is flying into the air, it's losing power, and so all of these other prisoners are coming out of stasis. They're coming out of they're thawing or whatever. They're coming out of stasis, and so they're alive, and they're people that could be saved, but they don't all fit on the Falcon. So that now they have not only do they have to get Chewie and Doc onto the Falcon, now they have the burden of saving everyone else, because whoever's left on this ship is going to go back, fall back into.
So basically, what happens at this point is everybody else gets off, and Chewie has this entire thing fall on him, and he dies. I'm just kidding. I was going back to New Jedi Order.
He dies, and he yells into Debrillion and Destrillion, and
a moon falling on him. It's a space, or it's a tower that launched into space and then came back down on him.
It's not true. That's not true. So they're able. They're just about to escape, and the vice president catches. Basically, he's got Han, and Hurricane has Han in his sights, and he's got a blaster pulled. He's about to end Han Solo, and he pulls the trigger, and that really cool droid, Bullock, gets in front of him and takes the hit for Han Solo. Han Solo leaves, and they drag Bullock onto the Falcon. And Hurricane, which is kind of a shocker, Hurricane is shot from behind by his wife.
Yeah.
I didn't understand her motivation. Maybe she just wanted to see the dancers the whole time. Didn't want to see. So anyway, they're able to get Han Solo and his entourage are able to get everyone either on the Falcon or on this assault ship that the corporate sector security team brought with them. And they use both of those as escape vehicles. They detach from this facility and they escape. Meanwhile,
Avengers 2 crashes down to the ground.
And that's the end of that facility. And that's the end of Star's End.
Besides the happy ending at the end.
Well, I mean, the Star's End itself, that's the facility is called Star's End.
So you're right.
That's Star's End, but that's also pretty close to the end of the book. So it's only 180 pages, so it's like super quick. So I don't but that wasn't your favorite part. What was your favorite part? I mean, I don't
know. Maybe the bar fight. That was kind of fun.
Bar fight. Yeah, jog
my
memory.
When he had that little like lizard thing that he...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, that's, yeah, yeah, the... in the box. And the guy opened it and it was like gnawing on him and stuff. And,
oh, my gosh. And that, it,
like,
yeah.
He started the craziness and got out of there. And then they like pretended they were drunk and ran into the guard and got out. You know, that whole portion.
Didn't this feel... when you bring that up, I was like, oh, yeah, that was part of it. Didn't it feel like three short stories combined?
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Three or four short stories like all slammed together. Kind of reminded me. It was like I, Jedi with when you had like three or
four... Yeah, that's a good point.
Four plot,
yeah,
plot like, stories.
But they're like totally different.
Yeah, but I, Jedi was like 500 pages. It wasn't that big. It was like 400 pages or whatever. This one's like, okay, it's like quick hits. Did you... And you were done. My favorite part was that whole kind of Han Solo super sleuth, kind of like figuring out by process of elimination who was the killer of the character that died. What's his name? Who killed? Who killed? It was... Yeah, he by process of elimination, he's like, it was Professor Plum in the library.
Yeah.
With the candlestick. Recon. It was Recon that was...
Well, yeah, and then Torm.
And Torm killed him. Yeah. Da, da, da. It was Torm in the lounge with a Sabacc card.
Yeah.
Face. So... Yeah, that was my favorite part. Did you have a favorite character? I mean, there's a handful of characters here. I mean, you can
probably
say Han.
Probably
yeah.
Han.
Yeah.
Trying to think if I liked any other ones a lot, and probably not enough to say like a favorite character.
Well, there's that scene with Blue Max where so Blue Max is that little droid that fits inside of Bullock's,
mm-hmm.
and there's a scene where Bullocks is the one that's chosen to fight the executioner droid, the Mark X executioner droid, and so Bullocks is about to basically get killed and get destroyed by this executioner droid, and the little tiny Blue Max droid that fits inside of Bullocks is like, no, we're going,
mm-hmm.
and Han's like, no, you're not, you're gonna finish this task because we got to find Chewie. And Blue Max is like, you can throw me on the ground into a million pieces. I'm not doing a single thing until we go save my friend. And Han Solo kind of figures, well, that's the same kind of loyalty that I have towards Chewie. And so he kind of, I thought that was kind of a cool moment there. But I'm not, honestly, as we're talking about this, I don't know how podcastable this conversation is, but it is what it is because we read the book. So, and if you read the book, you're tracking. And if you didn't read the book, you kind of have the gist of kind of how the story went anyway. So the reason I bring that up is because I kind of like that Blue Max character in that moment.
Oh, okay.
I kind of thought that was kind of cool.
A little droid love.
Yeah, little friend, little droid friendship there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and it's kind of like that end of the book is kind of Han and Jessa kind of like not really, but walking away into a sunset kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun read. It was quick. Fun read, entertaining. But you know, I see why it didn't end up being, you know, part of like the main canon. These early books were forgotten once the stories and the locations and it started to really get developed. This one kind of fell away. Yeah, kind of fell away. So yeah, it's a cool book. Maybe a book that you want to read before you see the Solo movie, just because there's some motifs that kind of translate over. Even though I haven't seen the movie yet, I'm just making assumptions here. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. Well, we should probably talk about next month, and I'll start like talking about Legacy of the Force and all that kind of stuff. We've been patient. We've been really patient. We're going to be starting Legacy of the Force series. The first book is called Betrayal. It's written by Aaron Alston, who has since passed away. His work that he left behind, especially in this series, is stellar. Like I said earlier, I read this once a year at least. I'm 6 books in, and I only started like 2 weeks ago. I am finding I just love it more and more every time. Every one of the major characters has an arc that is valuable and that you can choose to follow. And there's in my opinion, there's not a lot of like wasted storylines. It seems like every storyline is like, it's not like you're like, oh, let's just get through this so I can get back to the storyline that I'm really interested in. Every storyline has value and has weight and story weight. And how all of them are weaved together. Karen Travis has 3 excellent, excellent books in this series, and they're Mandalorian centered. There's huge Mandalorian implications. We're starting this series, and I have you to thank for that, Luke. I would have done this earlier, had you not kind of forced me and reminded me to be patient. Mm-hmm. And I think that now that we have a good foundation of characters, and who is Jason Solo, who is Jaina Solo, who is Corin Horn and Kip Duran, and we've really paid our dues as far as like, you know, going through the Yuuzhan Vong. We've really been patient, where when I started this podcast, this is what I had in my head. Like, I can't wait to get here. And it's 3.5 years later and we're finally getting there, and it's made it even sweeter, you know? For those of you that haven't read this book series, I want to say you guys are in for a treat. But I do want to warn everyone, as far as like the very beginning of this book, of the very beginning of Betrayal, the very first book, it takes some getting used to, because Han Solo is portrayed in a much different light, and it's really jarring. It really is jarring. But it has to happen for the rest of the story arcs, for the rest of the storyline to continue. And so if you can put up and if you can hang in there for the first, and hats off to Aaron Alston, who kind of took the, you know, had to take the reins for the beginning of this series, and had to actually write this part of Han Solo's character. It's very jarring, I think, and I think I've heard Dan talk about how he didn't really like that, and it's enough for some people to just put it down and say, yeah, it's not my Han Solo, and move on. But if you can hang in there for the first maybe third of this book and get to the purpose of why he is the way he is, and why he's portrayed in this way, it really adds value to the story. And it really is the hook, and it makes it really salty for, like, salty in a good way, like really tasty for the rest of the series.
I think it's all those things people said about New Jedi Order, and we had our criticisms of it, but you would have missed Traitor had you, you know,
absolutely.
So,
yeah. Yep. So we are doing that. And also, to kind of coincide with that, utini.com has officially posted, we have a page on their website where if you are a listener to Legends Library and you want to follow along with a subscription bag that will send you that month's or this month's book along with our podcast. You can do that simply by going to utini.com and going to the it's utini.com/Legends Library. You can find the official Legends Library subscription bag, and every month when we announce the new book, you'll get it in the mail. You only have to think about it. Corey over there at utini.com will send you the next book, and we'll just do this together. And plus, you're supporting some really cool stuff, some really cool people, and something they're trying to get started over at utini.com. You also get a magazine and a sticker, and a kind of a commemorative pin. All that artwork matches. It's really cool. Every month you open it up and see what the artwork is for that week and who's written in the magazine. They've completely revamped everything. So, and Luke's even had an opportunity to write for that magazine. So, it's really a cool opportunity and really a cool collaboration between Legends Library and utini.com in providing a service of providing the material and then providing the conversation afterwards. So that's pretty neat to be a part of something like that. So yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. So
starting something big.
Yeah. Yeah. We're 9 months. We got a 9 month stint here with Legacy of the Force. So we'll be talking about Legacy of the Force for a while, for the next about a year. I mean, a little bit less than a year, but
yeah,
it's gonna be a whole bunch of fun. Well, why don't you let our listeners know how they can get a hold of us?
So head over to Twitter. That's the best way. It's at Legends Library. Legends Library Podcast on Facebook. And then Legends Library at coffeewithkenobi.com. Send us an email. While you're over there, check out all the other, shows. Coffee with Kenobi, they're putting out a lot of stuff right now for the Solo. Mm-hmm. You got Lattes with Leia, Comics Kenobi, and then even Rebels Reactions. They're re-recording basically all their episodes. They're going back through everything, getting some more discussion in and stuff. So Rebels Reactions is not over.
No. Yeah. Yeah, and I've had several conversations either via phone or text or whatever with Aaron, he's got a co-host that's joining him, and they're going to be talking about not only Legends but not only Rebels, but Clone Wars stuff, and it's going to be super fascinating. I'm going to be joining them on one of the episodes coming up here, and I cannot wait to join them. I can't wait to hear their conversation, and so it's going to be super, super cool. I'm not sure at this point if the co-host has been announced, but I wish that I could talk about it right now, but I'm not sure. I want to make sure that they have an opportunity to announce it first. I don't want to blow it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
So. Yeah. But it's going to be super cool. So that's really awesome. And so, Coffee with Kenobi, Comics with Kenobi, Rebels Reactions, Lattes with Leia, and then our show. We all have our own feeds, so please subscribe to all of those podcasts. Check out all the really cool stuff on the Coffee with Kenobi Twitter, where Dan was able to hang out with so many people. It seems like even had a run in with George Lucas, which is really cool. It looks like so.
Yeah, oh my goodness!
Yeah. So that's really cool. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting month, and we're going to have, it'll be an interesting year. It'll be a fun year. We're finally there. Legacy of the Force. I'm so excited.
Definitely so tell.
Yeah, I know you can tell. I'm gushing. I'm like, dur. I'm like goofy. I'm excited for it. And as soon as I finish it, because I only have 3 books left, I'm going to start it all over again. And we're going to,
oh, geez.
Yeah, we're gonna. Maybe I'll read it. I don't know. I have so much.
We should ask because some people said to read Trader, and you know you'll catch stuff. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, maybe I should. Maybe I will. Very cool. Well, until next month, my name is Randy.
And I'm Luke.
And may the Force be with you.
See you.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.